Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our series looking at God being with us in the valleys. And last time we considered what it means when we realise that God is with us in the valley of shame from sin, reaching down to pull us out of the pit of our sinfulness. Now I would argue that there are different types of shame. So we looked at that one last time, that shame that that turns us away from sin and back to God. But there are other forms of shame that destroy us. And so we're going to be looking at this week at some of these other forms of shame that destroy us and destroy our connection with others and God. We have taken the shame and the guilt that we rightly feel from committing sin and have increased it in scope and reach so that shame cripples, oppresses, and tears down people. In these cases, shame often defines us. It defines our thoughts and beliefs about ourselves. It tries to become our entire identity, affects our actions, and even affects the way we receive other people's words and actions towards us. Shame, when it has been increased to far beyond what it is intended for, becomes a ruthless inner critic that condemns us and damages our sense of self-worth. This kind of overwhelming shame is a lying, deceitful voice that rebukes and reviles us for every little thing that we consider wrong about ourselves. This shame tells us that we are not enough, not worthy, not lovable or valuable. And so this is the shame that comes from comparison. Does anyone relate to that inner voice that says things such as, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not healthy enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not, insert your own descriptor, enough. If I asked for people to comment, how many of us would have had these thoughts about ourselves? This kind of shame comes from this flawed comparison of ourselves with other people, with the world around us, with the false, unreasonable expectations and standards that society demands from us. And God has a lot to say about the dangers of comparison and how destructive it can be to try and value our worth based on anyone else other than what God says of us. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, Paul tells the Galatians, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Paul is urging us to examine ourselves and not to spend wasted time and effort on considering the values of other people. This is true in the boastful sense, the I'm better than they are so I should gain more appreciation sense, which was probably the situation that Paul was trying to address in his letter to the church in Galatia. But this statement is equally important to consider in the problem of shame. When we compare ourselves to others and find ourselves in some way lacking, we heap shame upon ourselves. We find that critical inner voice popping up and listing all the ways in which we have failed or are in some way unworthy. But Paul reminds us that we should not compare ourselves to others. We are just to try to do our best and take pride in that. I really like the Message translation of this verse, of these verses, because it really highlights that point that we just need to do our best and be satisfied by that rather than feeling the shame that our best isn't as good, at least in our own minds, as someone else's. So the message version says this. Make a careful explanation. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. How can I learn to take responsibility for doing the creative best that we can with our own lives and stop this constant comparison trap that we're in? At the beginning of Paul's letter to the Galatians, he states in Galatians 1 verse 10, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Paul recognised the problem that comes with trying to gain approval from both other people and from God. We end up splitting our attention as we try to consider what we can do better to better ourselves in the eyes of people, rather than just looking at God and realising that we are loved and accepted as we are. The only way we can truly escape the comparison trap is if we look up at God rather than around us at other people. Let us remember that our identity is found in Christ, and we need to listen to what he says about us, not what anyone else says about us, and especially not what that critical, shame-filled inner voice says that tells us we are not enough. God has made us enough by establishing our identity in Jesus. Nothing can undermine our identity in Jesus. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be redeemed into God's family, and there is nothing that can remove us from God's hands. When we compare ourselves to others, we are forgetting the price that Jesus paid for us. He was willing to pay the most ultimate and most costly of prices for you. And so that means that you are valuable. You are loved. You are enough for God. And so that should be enough for anyone. And it should be enough for ourselves. So, if this is resonating with you, take some time to pause the video and come to God and let him speak his words of grace and hope over you. Let him remind you of who he is and who you are in him. Choose a biblical statement that most resonates with you at this moment, and truly think about what that means. Some possible ideas are, "I am a child of God," Romans 8, verse 16. "I am gifted by the Holy Spirit," 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "I am a new creation," 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "I am blessed with every spiritual blessing," Ephesians 1, 3. "I am loved affectionately by God," Ephesians 2, verse 4. "I am completely forgiven," 1 John 1, verse 9. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," Psalm 139, verse 14. "I am completely and intimately known and loved," Psalm 139. "I am loved with an everlasting love," Jeremiah 31, verse 3. "I am free from condemnation, for I am in Christ," Romans 8, verse 1. "I am not alone, because God will not leave or forsake me," Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hear God speaking these words over you with love and grace. Really think about what it means for God to say these things over you. And if it would be helpful Write the verse down on a card and put it somewhere that you'll see it. Maybe your wallet or purse, by your bedside table or your mirror. Let God encourage you and lift you from the shame that comes from comparison. So we can have shame that comes from a comparison, but we can also feel filled with shame because of the situations or circumstances that we're in. Sometimes things happen to us, perhaps because of our own choices, perhaps because of the actions of other people, or perhaps just through chance or circumstance. But that can wreck our sense of self-worth as we take on the shame that originates from what happened to us. There can be many situations that cause us a sense of shame that is unwarranted, but also overwhelming. And this oppressive kind of shame can come through abuse, breakups, divorce, assault, loss, financial difficulty, physical difficulties, comments about appearance, or just about anything that makes you feel disconnected from yourself or from God. One of the ways that situations can make someone feel shame is when someone is attacked, abused, or oppressed, and the person responsible for these acts makes the one on the receiving end feel shame, even though the person responsible for the acts should be the one who feels shame, and those who had it happen to them, it's not their fault. And this kind of thing has occurred throughout human history, and we see it even in the Bible. Now, just to give a warning, I'm about to think and talk about the horrible act of someone violating another. So if this is a trigger for you, please do either stop the video now or go about this sensitively. Take care of yourself, and if you need to find someone to talk to, please make sure you do. So I want to read from Genesis 34, verses 1 to 7. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were out in the field with his livestock, so he did nothing about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Meanwhile, Jacob's son had come in from the field as soon as they heard what had happened. They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. Now, in this chapter in Genesis, a horrific event occurs. Dinah, one of Jacob's daughters, is raped. And then the man that raped her tries to buy her off her family as his wife. The depravity of rape and sexual assault happens far more often than we often allow ourselves to believe. A charity called Rape Crisis says that one in four women have been raped or sexually assaulted as an adult. One in six children and one in 18 men raped or sexually assaulted as an adult. These are horrific statistics, and I think we need to be praying for things to change, as well as supporting those who are working to fight to stop these horrific acts from occurring. In the Genesis recording of the events of Dinah's life, we don't really hear what happens to Dinah or how she coped with everything. But I would imagine that she found herself full of hateful and negative feelings of shame and repulsion towards herself. She would have felt dirty and vulnerable and completely used. And this is not even counting the cultural and societal perspectives of the day, which would have considered her spoiled or ruined goods. We also don't hear of Dinah after this account, other than her name in a list of descendants of Jacob. So we don't know what happened after this. We don't know how she was treated or whether she was able to heal. What I know of the culture of the time does not bode well for her. However, I do also know that we have a God who redeems and restores. He takes someone's pain and horror and can build it into a beautiful story. So I will hold on to hope that Dinah's story did not end with that horrific event. However, it is all too common for a horrendous event such as that to take on such a huge part of someone's life that it begins to define who they think they are. If we do not allow God into our pain, shame and horror, then we allow our life to develop out of that place of pain and shame, so that everything about us is tainted by what happened. Shame can become placed on us through the wrong or harmful actions of others. And though the acts are committed by a perpetrator, it is the person they did it to that takes on that shame. When someone has been abused or attacked, they are made to feel that there is something inherently wrong with them, even that they caused or invited the abuse because of something about them. Shame is used by those who want to harm and dominate others, by trying to humiliate the other person, by thinking that they are worth nothing, and any kindness they get is a gift from the one who hurts them. But God says no, this is not my way. In Isaiah 61, we have a beautiful passage that talks about the coming of the Lord's favour. And it is this passage that Jesus quotes from when he declares his manifesto, his purpose for coming to earth. And Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 5 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And further on in Isaiah 61, in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing." Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor and bind up the brokenhearted. He also came to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This includes people who have been locked away by shame. Shame because of what has happened to them that they need to be freed from. When Jesus comes to bring freedom, then instead of shame, people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, people will rejoice in their inheritance. And why? Because the Lord loves justice and hates wrongdoing. He comes to restore, to repair, to heal the damage done to people. If you are feeling shame because of situations, whatever the situation or circumstance may be, I want you to know that on the other side of this suffocating shame, there is redemption. Do not let Satan keep you stuck in shame. Jesus carried the very feelings of shame that we struggle to bear when he suffered and died on the cross. Christ can relate to what we feel. He knew a far greater depth of shame, despair and pain than we have ever had to experience, or that we ever will. Jesus took all that shame from the sins we commit. He took all the shame from our comparisons with others, and he took all the shame that we feel because of situations and circumstances. He endured it all, and he endured the greatest shame that can ever be known, the shame of being despised by the Father as he turned his face away while Jesus was on the cross. Yet God redeemed him. He was resurrected and restored to glory. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So as Jesus has been resurrected and restored, so too are we. God is holding his hand out, waiting to lift you out of whatever shame is trapping you in its grip. Will you look up and see the hand that is there for you? Sometimes we might find ourselves crying out to God, wondering why we are experiencing these trials in life, why it feels like there's no way out. But God is with you, and he carried your shame on the cross. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're facing, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and let him lift you from your shame. If you're feeling bound by shame because of something that happened, take a moment to identify and acknowledge the situation. Face it head on. Admit that it causes you shame and acknowledge your feelings about it. Identify and understand the emotions that it's causing you and bring them directly to God. Be truly open, honest and raw with God. Tell him everything. Ask and pray to God for his deep, powerful, unending healing for your body, your mind, your emotions, your heart, your soul. Allow his healing presence to wash over you. Let God address that source of your shame and bring healing. Listen to him as he tells you how to let go of the shame that has hold of you. Hear what God says to you. Past circumstances do not define you. You are not your actions or your circumstances. What was done to you or what you have done does not determine your worth or identity. Be set free from the captivity of shame. Let God lift you out of the valley of shame. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves justice and despises wrongdoing. You are a God who is faithful and loving and kind, who lifts us from our shame, who carries the weight and the stain and the pain of our shame all the way to the cross, who redeems and restores us from any shame that we might be feeling. Oh God, we long to be free of the burdens that hold us captive. We long to return to freedom, to be embraced by your amazing arms of love. So Lord, I pray that you would loosen the chains that bind us. You would help us to let go of the shame that ensnares us. Whether it's shame from our own actions, shame from comparisons with others, shame from the things that have happened to us, or shame from something else, Lord, I know that you want us to let go. You want us to be restored and redeemed. So I pray that even in this very moment, you will be lightening our burdens and removing any stain of shame from our lives. Help us to know freedom, Lord. Freedom in you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.